This is DZPN, the Drunken Zombie Podcasting Network.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Lights Out. I'm your host, Sylvia Schultz. I did not grow up in a haunted house. As much as I adored true ghost stories when I was a little kid, I don't think my nerves could have stood it. I'm really kind of a big chicken at heart. Besides, I am about as sensitive as a brick. Someone could be following me around carrying their own severed head, and I'd be oblivious. But other folks aren't so lucky. There are people who live with the weird on a day-to-day basis, people who share their homes with the unknown. Some of these people were kind enough to tell me their stories. I'm going to let them do most of the talking for this show. Carl Jones teaches a class at Lincoln Land Community College on the paranormal called Ghosts, Hauntings, and the Unexplained. One semester, Carrie Rudis was one of his students. During one meeting of Prayerland Paranormal Consortium, Carrie and her son Joey shared their experiences. Their story ended up being aired on American Hauntings on A&E.
We moved into our house 18 years ago. He wasn't even born yet. He's my baby. We had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old child. And the house had been in my family for many years, probably since the 50s. My dad and his 6 siblings were raised there. And we bought the house from my uncle. And we were all excited. It was a big 5-bedroom house, you know, all this room. And I told my 4-year-old son where his room would be upstairs. And he went up there all excited, and he comes back down and he said, "I'm not sleeping up there." And I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, there's a ghost up there." And I thought, yeah, right, you know, he's 4. So anyway, it didn't, you know, pay too much attention to that, but it wasn't long and things started happening. And if I recall, the first thing that happened was one of the first nights we stayed there. We woke up and the front door was wide open and the coffee pot was on. And it's like, that's weird. And our doors, we always locked our doors, and it had deadbolt locks. So there's no way the kids could have reached it, you know. And it just progressed from there. We would hear footsteps. We would hear voices. We would see shadows. We would hear a woman crying. We would hear a woman singing sometimes. And I worked midnights a lot back then. And there were many mornings I would come home and my husband had been up all night because he thought somebody was in our house, that somebody had broke in, you know, and there was nobody there. So the kids would not sleep upstairs while they were young. They slept in the spare bedroom downstairs next to us. But there really wasn't anything threatening. It was just activity. So, you know, we could deal with it. They were pretty young. Well, obviously, he was born while we lived there. And they would see things, too. I remember Joey saying, you know, "There's somebody in there." And I'm like, "Where?" And he'd say, "Don't you see? There's somebody in there." Do you remember some of that? Not really? Some of it. Do you remember waking up and seeing the little girl crying in your room? Yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of that that went on. And my mom would babysit sometimes. And I hired babysitters when I worked. And they were always scared. They always had something happen or they would see something. And luckily, they were good about it and never quit. But, you know, they would get afraid a lot. So we lived with this, you know, and it was okay till about 3 or 4 years ago. The kids were all teenagers then, all 3 of them, and it started getting mean. We would hear growling. We would get scratches. We would wake up with bruises and scratches. My daughter actually looked like a human bite on her. So, you know, I said, we can't live with this. So I had psychics come in and try and get rid of it. I had investigators from St. Louis come in and try and get rid of it, and it didn't work. So finally, I happened to stumble upon a website online. It was through A&E. They were wanting to find families that needed help with their paranormal experiences. So I emailed, ended up being a producer, and she did. I didn't think anything would happen, you know. I just thought, you know, I got to try and find something to help. And she ended up calling us, and she came out, and we didn't even know if it would be a show just yet, because they have to make the pilot, they have to sell it to the network. But she guaranteed me that regardless, they would bring in the experts that could help us. So we agreed to do this. And it was a pretty long process, and they come out several times and filmed. We had surveillance cameras up for weeks, which at first was weird, but you actually do get used to it after a while. You kind of forget they're there. And we did actual filming where they would bring in crews, because we did our own reenacting, and they said that was a new concept. The things that had happened before I contacted them, they had us reenact, recreate, and that was kind of hard because we're not actors, you know. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing, so, you know. But it was a learning experience. Sometimes we had 12-hour filming days, so like 2 in the morning, you know. So it was, I mean, it was work. But they did bring in a psychic, a shaman, a medium, and an exorcist eventually. And what was there that was menacing is now gone. It's made a huge difference in our lives and in our house. And they told us that the regular ghosts that were there did not like this being either, that it tried to control them also. And I believe it, because the first night that it was gone, I could hear it sounded like somebody running upstairs, like kids. And we do have a little girl ghost. We've all seen her. And I hadn't heard that in a while since this had been. It was almost like she was happy, you know. There's also a little boy spirit. There's a woman, and she's been seen. And there's apparently an old man that's kind of crabby. He likes to hang out in the basement. And he doesn't mind us, but he doesn't like it when we're like remodeling something. That kind of aggravates him, but he's pretty harmless. And the bad spirit, they were never able to really tell us what it was. They just said it was negative. They didn't know how it got to be there. And we would see it when it was there. It was very tall and like a dark figure, and it actually had yellow eyes. And it was very scary. I saw it one time. And, I mean, that's the most afraid I think I've ever been. And the growling, we would hear that frequently, too, while it was there. And that's gone now. But the history, the house used to be a boarding house. It's very old. And the train tracks go right by our house. And there used to be a train station there. And it used to be a boarding house. There were rumors that it used to be a brothel also. So it does have a lot of history, been a lot of people in and out there. But anyway.
Were they able to figure out who the children were or why they were there?
Not why they were there for sure, but they did find some history of a little girl being hit by a train right close there, and they're wondering if that wasn't her. And she has old clothes, you know. You've seen her too, haven't you? Yeah, she's got... Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Really.
Are you okay with the other spirits?
The ghosts
still there?
Yeah, the ghosts we didn't mind. You just know once in a while you'll hear a door will close or something will move or you'll see something, but it's
more of a peaceful coexistence.
Yeah, it's not menacing.
So they probably want to keep.
They got to be used to us by now, I think.
When you had to get rid of the evil. Have them get rid of the other spirits.
They asked us, and we said, you know, I don't want them to be trapped, because I think that would be horrible, but I don't want to force them out. I said, you know, tell them they're free to go if they want to, and they said they didn't want to leave. But, okay.
yeah, the evil thing, when you saw it, the eyes, the only detail you could see, the was just a black shape.
It was just, actually, I was in the house. My daughter slept on the couch for years because she was so terrified of her room. And many nights she was waking me up to come out there and sleep too because of the things that be going on, you know, and she was scared. So it was one of those nights, and I was laying on the love seat, and there we have a stained glass window with regular glass in the middle, straight across. And one of the things that would happen, you'd hear a sound like somebody stomping on that porch and then jiggling the door. And we were hearing that, and I happened to look up, and I saw this dark figure through that window, and it like looked at me, and it was just yellow glowing eyes. It wasn't like there were pupils or anything. It was just bright. And I just froze because I thought, oh, my God, does it see me? If it doesn't, I better not move or it will, you know. And I was just so scared, and then it was just gone. But you've seen the tall shadows, too.
I was going to ask you to just, actually, the next picture they have on the Facebook with you. you were quoted as saying that you feared that these things or this thing had the potential to kill somebody. Have you ever been physically...
Has been people physically, like...
Attacked
in our household. I've actually even had objects literally thrown at me. And that's actually on film. It will probably be on the show. I will say the situation in the household probably started escalating when we started dabbling with Ouija boards and seances. That did not help.
Never does.
No. You just opened the lock and talked
to
yourself.
And we had people shoved. You were shoved. My brother was like shoved across the room into a wall at our house.
I've woken up with like random scratches on my face.
Legs.
Yeah, legs.
Yeah, I've had the scratches.
That hasn't happened since this.
Not since
then. How long has it been since they came in and helped throw away the spirit?
It was last August when they got rid of they brought the exorcist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which person do you think was the one that got rid of it? Was it like a shaman?
The exorcist. The shaman, when she came, she got rid of it for a while, and she said that she thought it might try and come back, and it did. And we knew when it come back, you could just feel the house felt so different. And when things were escalating and getting really bad, you could feel, it was almost like it would go through you. You would feel this sudden anger, and just it was like something mean went through you. I don't know how else to describe it. And it's like, luckily it only lasts a second, because it was nothing like I had ever felt. And I think we all experienced it at some point. It was really strange. And it would mimic us, too. It got where it would do that. Like the kids would see me walk outside, and it wasn't me, you know. And Joey had one night where it was trying to get in his room, and it was trying to sound like me. It was saying, Joey, open the door, and he knew it wasn't me. Yeah. So it got to be very, very scary.
It's a fascinating case because I've heard of this before, and I ran into it once or twice, but the negative energy was trying to control the other ghosts in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it was somewhat successful.
Yeah.
Because the other ghosts in the house were not necessarily negative energies by any means.
They were just ghosts.
They were just hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, they didn't like it either.
No.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. So when that thing was around, the activity with the other spirits of the home ceased pretty much.
It didn't cease, but it decreased. It was almost like they were kept back or whatever.
Wow.
I know there was one day when my husband, we were talking about that, and my husband said, you know, I wonder about that little girl, you know. And he actually saw her right after that. And we wondered if she wasn't trying to tell us, you know, help, you know.
Yeah.
We could not be afraid of
them. Yeah.
We could tell the difference because all the paranormal activities are hostile. Like,
yeah.
We could tell it was something else that we were feeling.
Like. Yeah. I mean, you could just feel, it just felt so negative. Yeah, in there. Yeah.
Tensions running high.
And there were some nights when, like, none of us got any sleep because of everything going on. And the kids upstairs, they eventually did. The boys would sleep upstairs eventually. My daughter didn't until this thing was gone. But they said they would hear it sound like something scratching all over the walls and all kinds of
noises. I have actually woken up in the middle of the night feeling being choked by something. That happened more than once. That actually happened, like, during the period when they were filming. That's when things really got bad.
Yeah, I think it kind of got mad for a while they were filming.
Yeah.
They didn't stir anything up. Did anything happen while they were filming?
Oh, yeah. They got chased out of the house twice.
Did they?
Yeah.
Film crew also.
Yeah.
Now, they filmed during the, while the negativity was still there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it wasn't until after the filming was done that they were able to get rid of it? Or?
Well, we did a little bit of filming in February of last year, and they come back and did a little more in May. They did the majority of it in August, and towards the end of it was when they brought in the exorcist and got rid of it, and then they come back for touch-ups after it was gone.
Did they film part of the exorcism?
Yes. Yeah. We weren't allowed in the house for most of it, but we got to come in towards the end.
I bet you kept his number on file.
I have them on Facebook. I do.
Did they give you any tips on keeping it away?
They didn't, but the shaman did. She gave us, like, candles and prayers. And, of course, Joey knows all about that stuff. Yeah. He researches. He has the smudging sage and all that stuff. I go to him if I feel there's something.
Can you come back next month? I'm always interested in how much they exaggerate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try to.
Yeah,
make sure you come back at least next
time. I will.
So, no idea where this came from. You just kind of showed.
Well, I have an idea, and I don't know how the rest of them felt about it. When I was a teenager, my best friend, who is now my sister-in-law, ended up marrying her brother. But that was before I knew him. Anyway, her parents bought a house in Hillsboro, and it was haunted. And we were like 16, and we thought, oh, cool, you know, whatever. So we used the Ouija board, which I didn't even believe in ghosts then. Honest, I didn't. And Kelly was her name. She's like, let's use the Ouija board and talk to the ghosts. My mom and my sister used to use one. I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. Well, there was something bad there, and it would do similar things. We would get shoved, pushed, scratched. Her house was horrible. You couldn't ever get any sleep. I mean, it was like that. And as we got older and moved on, she lived out of town. We lived apart and, you know, really didn't have it, that kind of thing going on. But actually, she moved back to Hillsboro right about the time this bad thing come to my house. So I didn't know if it was had anything to do with what we experienced before, and since we were hanging out together again, I don't know.
Had she had experiences after she moved away?
She said, well, we both would here and there, but it was nothing like when we were younger and hanging out together. And it was very similar, which I don't know, maybe all negative entities it is similar, but it liked to pick on my daughter the worst, and she was a teenager, and it like loved it when we were teenagers to pick on us. And if my daughter would have girlfriends over, oh my God, it really tormented them.
The energy levels are
yeah,
so high.
Yeah. And my daughter is the only girl between me and my sister-in-law because she has all boys. So she is, you know, related to both of us, so I always wondered if it was the same thing. It may explain why it would target her.
Like I said, us using the Ouija board certainly
didn't
not help.
But it actually was there before you guys did that.
Yeah.
So.
And I take it you got rid of the Ouija board?
Yes. 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 But the filming, I haven't seen the show. I will not see it. I'm going to watch it with everybody else. We don't get to see it ahead of time, although they said they'll send us a DVD afterwards. So I'm curious to see what they did with everything. I know they dramatize and
creative editing.
Exactly. Yeah. I will be glad to come back and tell
take
you.
Take liberties.
Yeah, they do. I will be glad to come back and tell you how everything
went. Well, so I hope you join us every month. Come back. Great bunch of people.
Did they trash your house?
Well, they didn't trash it, but they were really good about saying, we're going to move this and that, and we'll move it right back. And no, I'm putting everything back. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thank you very much. That's why filmmakers, they are like that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't the most considerate.
Yeah. They do kind of take over, too. They really do.
They made a movie in our house.
Oh, really?
And I left. Dean was doing a movie out of town. And when I came home, everything from the basement was upstairs, and everything from the upstairs was downstairs, and there wasn't one there.
And they left
you
there?
Yeah.
They came back to do...
Never again.
They come back to do some follow-ups in December. And I had all my Christmas stuff up. They're like, well, you better take that down. I'm like, what? Do you know how long that took me to put that up? But, you know, they didn't want it was supposed to look like before. Yeah.
Luckily, they let us see the tree up. They
filmed around the tree. I have a huge tree. I'm like, there's no way, you know.
Yeah.
But we got to, you know, be outside in 100 degrees with hoodies on. And I got to be outside in a halter top and December filming, you know, for continuity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun.
Fascinating. I can't wait to see it.
Me too.
I had the chance to talk with David Pickle, who shared with me his experiences living in a haunted house in Canton.
Cool. David Pickle is going to tell us about his experiences living in a haunted house. Tell me stories.
Well, it actually started... Maybe I should give you a little background first.
Please do.
The building that we own was a grocery store built in the early 1900s. As I was growing up, it was run by two sisters, older ladies. Neither one of them ever got married. They were pillars of the community.
Mm-hmm. And is this in Canton?
In Canton, yes. One of the sisters died. I owned a photography studio up the street. One of the sisters had passed away. And I offered to buy the building from the other sister at that time, and she didn't want to sell it. Eventually, she had to go to a nursing home, and their estate agreed to sell me both the building and the house they lived into next door.
Oh.
So I owned, the grocery store had closed in like 1986, I believe. One of the sisters was still living in the house next door when she left to go to a nursing home. I purchased the property. Was planning on using the house as a rental property. So I was in upgrading some things, and occasionally you would be in there late at night by yourself and you'd hear noises, and didn't really think too much about it. One night I did actually hear footsteps upstairs, like somebody had walked across the room. I was concerned enough because the house was empty that somebody had snuck in, and when I came in, they were trying to get out. Went upstairs, there was nobody there.
Hmm.
Prior to that, I had been down, like I say, my studio is about a half a block away. I had gone down to mow the grass around what was the grocery store, and I'd left a sign on the door at my other business that said, I'm down the street. If you need me, come get me. And you know, you get that feeling that somebody's watching you?
Oh, yeah.
I was mowing the grass, and as I turned around, standing on the back steps of the grocery store building, and I only saw her for an instant, was a lady in a blue flowered dress. That was my first experience. And I told my wife, I said, I think I saw Katie and Tori Petrovich were their names. I said, I think I saw Katie's ghost today. And my wife and I got to talking about it. And a few nights later, she woke up screaming. I was still downstairs. I went up to find out what was going on. And she had woken up with a lady standing over her swinging her fists.
Lord.
And I said, what was she wearing? And she said she was wearing a blue dress. And I said, that's the same person I saw. That was right after we had bought the property.
Oh, my. Now, was this the first sister that passed on?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I didn't think too much about it. We bought that property in 1996, let it sit empty for several years, trying to decide what we were going to do with it. I just didn't want the building to get torn down.
Mm.
It was a beautiful piece of property. Had a lot of history in Canton with the two ladies. I was fortunate to get a good deal on it when they sold it. And eventually in 2006, we opened an ice cream shop,
and,
which we've closed since then.
Oh.
But anyway, about a week into our ice cream shop, I was over in this area doing some shopping for the store, and one of my employees called and said, you need to come back as soon as possible and look at this ice cream. They wouldn't tell me what was wrong. I thought maybe the freezer went out, ice cream was melting, you know, what's going on with the ice cream? Well, when I got back, the freezer was fine, ice cream was fine, but they had covered up one bucket of the ice cream. It came in 3-gallon buckets, and in the bottom you could see the initials K and a T, which just completely freaked out the girls that worked for me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at that time I'm thinking, well, it's just a coincidence. They were scraping on the bottom of the bucket, you know, and it just came out that way.
Okay.
But they were convinced it was a sign of some kind.
Wow.
And then not long after the time I saw the, and I'm kind of bouncing around because I can't remember the exact timeline, but I have a koi pond in the back. Right after I bought the property, I built a koi pond in the back of the property, and I was out there one night trimming around the koi pond, and like I said before, you know, you get that feeling somebody's watching me. And I kept looking around. It was almost dusk about the time it is now.
Okay.
And I actually felt somebody come up and tap me on the shoulder.
Oh.
Which really freaked me out.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm pretty convinced we have a ghost. I'm thinking, Katie come up. She's a very nice lady. She knows I'm taking care of the property. She just patted me on the shoulder and said, you're doing a nice job.
Well, that's quite a switch from standing over your wife with her fist raised.
Yeah, that was the only weird occurrence is, my wife said she woke up with a lady in a blue dress swinging her fists at her, so we don't know exactly what was going on there.
Hmm.
Not long after we opened the ice cream shop, we were almost ready to close, and myself and a couple of my employees were sitting around one of the tables, and I don't know if it's just me or what it is, but I can always tell when Katie was in the room.
Okay.
And a shadow went between us across the table, just like we're sitting here, and this shadow went by. And I thought somebody had walked in the room behind me, and I turned to look, and one of my employees said, what are you looking at? And I said, you didn't see that shadow go by? No. And I said, I'm pretty sure Katie's in here.
Oh.
Well, a couple of minutes later, the employees left, and I was in there by myself about 7 o'clock at night, just doing the book work.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be a grocery store, and this is kind of how I come up with this theory. Just as plain as day, it was like somebody dropped a can of peas or, you know, a canned good,
mm-hmm.
and it rolled across the floor.
Ooh.
And I was like, well, that what fell off the counter?
Yeah.
At that point, I pretty much convinced myself that sometimes when Katie would show up, she didn't see what I saw. She saw the grocery store.
Okay.
Because where it dropped was where they used to keep the canned goods, and she was in there stocking shelves and dropped one of them.
Oh.
And I mean, it literally rolled across the floor. It spooked me.
Heard this, but
I actually
didn't
heard
see
it. Didn't
it.
See anything,
okay.
But I heard something fall on the floor and roll across the floor.
Wow, and that's a really distinctive sound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, it was like somebody dropped a can of corn and rolled it across the floor.
Yeah.
And like I say, that's when I decided that Katie saw it as a grocery store sometimes when she came in.
Sure.
And there had been instances, like I had an employee that was working in the kitchen. He saw an elderly lady come in the back door. He said he waited 10 or 15 minutes for an order to come back. Nobody brought anything back. He went out front, and there was nobody there, just the employee working out front.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shortly after he had started working, and I said, what was she wearing? He said, a blue dress. And I said, it's Katie. Walked in the back door, checked him out, and then left.
Uh-huh.
Since then, we've closed our ice cream shop, and we've added on to it, and we actually live there now. The what used to be the grocery store is now our living room.
Okay.
And then we added, you know, some addition bedrooms and things like that on the back. And we thought once Tori, the sister, died about 3 years ago, we hadn't seen the ghost at all. We hadn't heard her. And, you know, I pretty much figured Katie was waiting for her sister, and now they're both gone, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't hear from her. But since we've moved into the house, I've seen faces in the doorway. There's a small entryway between the screen door and the main door. It's about 4 feet, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard at least twice the screen door open, and nobody was there, which I first contributed to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, I actually saw somebody standing there, and when I went to open the door, there was nobody there.
Oh.
So I think she was just standing in the doorway. It was raining outside. I guess she wanted to get out of the rain.
There you go.
But, you know, I occasionally will catch movement out of the corner of my eye, just a flash of blue going by. My wife and my daughter have both heard dishes rattling in the kitchen when mm-hmm. nobody's in there. We have a And I haven't heard for a long time, but we have a battery-operated ice cream scoop that when you shake it, it goes, ice cream, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Cool.
And when we had the ice cream shop open, it was in a drawer, and the batteries were dead enough, you had to really shake it to make it work. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, nobody would be anywhere near this drawer, and it would go, ding-a-ling-a-ling, ice cream. And, I mean, the batteries were almost dead.
Right.
And it would just make that noise, and nobody could ever explain it, but... we feel, yeah, she's a ghost, but she's a friendly ghost. I mean, she was well liked as a live person. And we hope she stops by once in a while. So
splendid.
You know, it's a little freaky sometimes, but quite a bit. You know, my wife and my daughter, who still lives with us, don't see it much. But I'll be sitting in the living room by myself a lot of times, and I'll just catch that something went by, mm-hmm. just a glimpse of somebody. Wandered by just for a second, you know, and I'll turn and look and there's nobody there.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty much, I mean, from beginning to end, you know, like I say, they'd lived there all their lives in the house next door. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the house burned down. We had an accident and had a major fire. Mm. But it was mostly in the grocery store where we encountered. You know, like I say, I'm the one that seems to be most receptive to it for some reason. But
okay.
The hair on the back of your neck stands up.
It's like, yeah.
You know, especially that time when I heard the can of corn, it was like, I mean, as soon as I saw that shadow walk by, I was like, something's going on. Katie's in here, I can tell. Mm-hmm. And then I'm in there all by myself, and she drops something. She's going, well, I think it's time to go home.
That is fascinating. And it's really neat that I agree with your theory that perhaps she is seeing something entirely different. She's seeing what she's used to. And it's really fascinating that she dropped something and in her reality, it kind of crossed over into yours.
I mean, it was so pronounced. I mean, I'm sitting clear across. There's nobody in the building. And where I heard it was clear across the room. And it's just like you dropped a canned good and it rolled across the floor. And I was like,
wow.
I mean, it was enough... to me, that I got up to see that, you know, that the wind blew something off or you know, what was it? But, I mean, all the doors and windows are closed. I mean, I'm locked in there. When I go in there by myself, you know, back then, I locked the door because there was money involved and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, it was pronounced enough that I was like, wow, what was that? You know, when there was nothing there, it was like, okay, Katie's in here and this is what she's doing.
Wow.
This spring, I attended a paranormal convention in the Quad Cities. I got to chat with a couple of people about their experiences.
I'm at the Quad Cities Psychic and Paranormal Conference, and I'm speaking with...
Sandy Hintz.
Sandy Hintz. Okay, she's going to tell me stories about the ghost she lives with.
Lived. Past tense.
Okay.
Yeah, it was up at Otter Creek, Iowa, which is south of Dubuque. Okay. It was on a dead-end road 3 miles from the nearest neighbor, and we called him Uncle Mort. Now, Uncle Mort was a practical joker.
Okay.
And we had this attic where I kept, it was cold, it wasn't finished, and we kept potatoes and onions and stuff there.
Yeah.
And I would go there to get something for supper, and I'd turn on the light, and then I'd turn it off, and I'd get up, I had both of my first children in that house.
Oh.
And I'd go out to go to the bathroom, it was a long journey to the bathroom,
okay. And
the light would be on. And it was like, did I forget to turn that light off or didn't I?
Uh-huh.
And there was a door over the cupboard, over this refrigerator, that would be open all the time. So I'd stop around on the floor to see if I could make that door come open.
Sure.
We lived in a house that had the basement under the house.
Okay.
And at night, we had this cat that we put in the basement. And it would go down so far, and then the hair on the back would stand up, and it would start hissing, and our little dog would start barking.
Yeah.
And then we'd say something like, Uncle Mort, get out of there, and then they'd push me down the basement. Now my ex-husband, I'd go to bed, and he would lay on the couch and watch television. And one night he was watching television, out of the corner of his eye, he could see the rocking chair rocking. And every time he would put the, I think he was reading the paper, he put the paper down, look, it would stop. So, and then it would start up again, you know, out of the corner of his eye.
Yeah.
So, one time he went real fast and did two more little jaunts before it stopped. He said, watch job, you know. So, you know, he wasn't malicious. But he would put the, now horses, we had horses. Horses do not pull a gate towards them. They will push to get out.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we had this area around the silo that the gate had to be pulled shut. The horses would be put in there, and in the morning they'd be out.
Oh man.
So we had a Halloween party, and we Ouija'd and asked him if he was going to come.
Uh-huh.
And he, so at this precise moment, we had candles, and the candle, the light went almost off, and then very bright, and then back to normal. This is, those are some of the things that happened.
Thank you so much for sharing with me. I really appreciate it.
So, but he's not an evil one, but since then, I don't need you. It scares me because I know you can get a bad one as well as a good one. And I won't have anything to do with Ouija's anymore after that.
Yeah, so. It's just too creepy.
And I did say to him, hey, Uncle Mort, you're going to have to quit or I'm going to have a miscarriage. And he did until my child was born.
That's cool. Oh, man. So. Sorry. Okay, I am talking to Devonda.
Yes.
Okay. She is going to tell me stories of Mississippi, ghost stories of Mississippi.
Okay. When I was about 4 and 5, my mom would always take us summer vacations to Mississippi because that's where she grew up, in Mississippi. And every time we would go there, my mom always would want someone to sleep in the bed with her. She was scared.
Okay.
And one night, I was about 4 or 5. I can't remember, but I was laying in the bed next to my cousin, and for some reason, I couldn't sleep. So I was peeking through the living room door, through the door, crack, and in those days they kept their doors open at night.
Okay.
And I seen a figure, man figure, walk right through the screen door. And then he sat down on the couch, and he put his hands on his knees, and he looked towards that room that I was in. And I screamed, there's a man in the house, there's a man in the house.
Yeah.
And one of my uncles got up and turned on the light in the living room, and the man was gone. Learning later on, I didn't say anything to my mom, but learning later on, it was my uncle. Uncle, and I described exactly what he looked like and what he was wearing, and he was actually buried in that suit that I seen him in.
Oh,
and my mom said that I had never met him before. She never took me to his funeral, and there's no way I would know that.
Oh, yeah.
And then on a different night, I was laying in the bed again, and my aunt was on the other side, was on the outside of the bed, and I was on the inside of the bed. And
so were you next to the wall?
I was next to the wall.
Okay.
And I woke up to me rolling over the top of her and landing on the floor like a pen. Nobody heard me fall to the floor. And it was really, really dark. And I wanted to scream, but I couldn't say anything. And there was, my grandma had this rope that hung from the light that we could yank on. It hung all the way down to the floor. And I knew that was there while I was feeling for it and couldn't find it. And then I felt something standing over me. I could feel that person. And It took me a long time to get back in the bed because there was a fireplace and a vanity that I knew I could go around the bed to try to get back in, but they were missing. It was really strange.
Yeah.
And then, for some reason, it felt like for a long time I was trying to get back in the bed, but that person would not let me back in.
Oh, man.
And finally I got back in. But later on, my mom told me that it was probably my uncle that had passed away.
Why would?
But I don't know why he would prevent me from getting back in the bed, though.
Yeah.
So
that would
it could have been somebody else.
Yeah. Or maybe there was like a spider in the bed, and he didn't want you crawling into the bed with a spider. I reached for stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He didn't want you back in the bed at that point in time.
Yes. And my mom said that things used to happen in that house when she was growing up, and she sometimes thought that it could be like they had her grandmother's rocking chair, and it would rock sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there was another time on a different adventure when we had went back down to Mississippi, and coming up the road there was this little house. Well, I thought it was a house, and it was actually a cotton house for picking cotton. And I said, oh my goodness, I said, who is that standing in that house window? And my mom goes, that's a cotton house, nobody lives there. And we flew so fast up that road. My mom's boyfriend did. He put the pedal to the metal. All you could see was dust behind us. But that's about three stories.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Cool.
That evening, I sat with my friends Val and Spewy at an outdoor cafe, and Val told me stories of her childhood experiences.
My parents bought the land that they built their house on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a new house built on top of an old house. And what we found out was they didn't do everything that they were supposed to do when they removed the old house, so the boiler... is still down there, and they didn't remove the old foundation, they didn't do all of that. And I don't know much about the house that was there. I know my mother babysat over there, and she didn't always like it, and it was kind of run with rodents, and that freaked her out. And
yeah.
But so we grew up in this new house that was haunted. Whether it was the land or the location, whatever it was, my sister definitely knew it. I knew it. My dad was aware of it. There was always a feeling of when you walked up the steps of making sure you looked behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a pattern, like if I were going downstairs and it was dark and the other house's lights were off, I would light a light and go down and turn a light on and go back up and have this so that I wasn't in the dark except for at the very end when I could run to my room.
Mm-hmm.
It was always something that... I don't know what my brother's experience was with it, but I know that my sister and I were very aware, and my dad said, you always feel like you need to look behind yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was one particular night. A room that my sister and I had shared... when we were there, we very often put our dolls in the closet, and because we didn't want them watching us. There was that. It was,
I don't blame you a bit.
Like, did you see their eyes move? Yeah, just put them in the closet. close the closet. Well, when
mirrors,
I left,
mirrors are bad.
I am right there with you with the dolls. I'll tell you what.
A little automatonophobia came, I think, from that. But we, at one point when I was older, I went to the downstairs room, which was really kind of cool for me and also really awful because the downstairs was where the feelings were kind of worse.
Ah, okay.
But my sister being upstairs then took to blocking the closet. She didn't want to use it for anything. At night, she would put stuff in front of it. It actually became more frightening for her being alone, and sometimes she would even, I would find her, and she would be in my bed.
Aww.
And she would brave the worst part of the house to get out of her room.
Oh, man. She older than you?
She younger by almost 2 years. There was one night that in her room, and she was kind of awake and had done her usual thing and piled stuff in front of the closet, that she heard a knocking from inside the closet, kind of a banging, and more than a knocking, just sort of bang, bang, bang. And so she did what you do when you're a kid, and she freaked out, and she got up, and she ran into my parents' room, which was right next door, and my parents, my father got up, and that was kind of his department.
Yeah.
And he was trying to soothe her and calm her down, and you know, "Oh, honey, you're having a dream. You know, there's nothing there. Everything's okay," and just kind of calming her down. And she's, no, Dad, it was really there. It was really there. "No, you know, it's probably, you know, you probably woke up from a dream, and it was just really real for you." And as he was soothing her and trying to quiet her, he heard the bang, 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 which gave him pause. Being a new house, and they had been involved in the design of it. You know, they looked at the blueprints, so he got out the blueprints, thinking, "Well, surely, you know, perhaps there's just some kind of a vent or a register or something. You know, maybe." Yeah. There was nothing there. I mean, well, and also it kind of made the door shake.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a pretty weak reach to go for the blueprints. And then you know, the other first reaction, like the immediate reaction, is go and make sure that my brother's room was on the other side of that, just make sure that he wasn't doing something. Well, he was even a couple of years younger still. Mm-hmm. And he was unconscious. I mean, there was, when he slept, he didn't move.
Uh-huh.
So that was, there was nothing that he could find that could determine that there was anything other than what it was very likely, and you know, which said quite plainly is probably a poltergeist.
Yeah.
And you know, with all the fear that she and I had in that space and in that place, rather, you know, gave it enough material to feed on for long enough to kind of
actually make
some noise. That was the last of that particular type of incident, the first and last that I was aware of. But she had later years in conversation said that it seemed to have followed her.
Mm.
It wasn't just at the house anymore. She'd moved, and it wasn't as aggressive. I don't know, and maybe it was because she wasn't quite as afraid, but she thought it was the same kind of thing, and so she would see doors move around her, and again, the closet, she couldn't keep a closet door closed.
Oh, wow.
She'd close it, she'd latch it, because it was one of the old closets that actually had the doorknob and the and the latch, and she'd wake up and it was open. And that went on for quite a while too, and I think she eventually just kind of got used to it, but she also didn't like to talk about it because she was afraid to talk about it, that it would get, you know,
more
attention, more, yeah, you know. So yeah, that's my sister's story with that, what I know of it.
Mm-hmm.
In my own, boy, it was kind of frightening knowing that there were other people around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether or not it was there was always that kind of look behind you, awful feeling that you got that seemed like it was more malevolent. But there were also really casual entities around as well, like they're just around and rude.
Okay.
Well, you know, you want to take some solace in having some space where nobody else is, like your bedroom and or the hall to the bathroom, and to know that you're not just being loomed around. And there didn't seem to be a whole lot that I could do to my room got to be better after a fashion, but yeah, it was uncomfortable. It was kind of frightening, I suppose, as a child. And nowadays I see things like that and been rather acclimated to, you know, like, all right, well, you know, you're not doing anything, and then that's okay, as long as you're not doing anything.
Yeah,
I remember many times having to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and actually seeing the form of an individual kind of in shadow around, you know, it was already dark, but it was darker there.
Sure.
And holding it for as long as I possibly could.
Yeah.
Like, is there any other way out of this? And you know, maybe if I just go to sleep, I will not have to do it until morning.
And that never works.
No, I remember one night in particular where I was at my end, and I'm shouted down the hall, I really have to go to the bathroom. I have to go, and if you don't move, I'm gonna go right through you. And I did. And that was kind of weird too.
What was that like? Did you feel anything as you passed through?
Well, I felt kind of scared. I mean, you really don't know. We walk right through somebody like that. I don't remember. I guess I remember feeling kind of tingly. But it could have also been an expectation or a defense of, I'm like, oh, I just did something weird.
Yeah, that's about as weird as you can get.
It was necessary.
Yeah.
When you gotta go. Yeah. So that was, you wouldn't think with a brand new house that you would get as much of that type of thing, but it was, we go back now and it's better, but there's still a little bit of that. Not as much, and there's not as much feeding it. And you know, there's no little kids to get all worked up about it.
I was gonna ask, I mean, do you think it's less because you're not freaked out little kids anymore?
Yeah, and I think it's probably a combination of being less because we're older and we're not as afraid of that. We've, you know, certainly grew up with it enough that we don't have the newness or the childishness about the space. It's familiar space. And the other thing is, because we're not so scared, we're not so feeding of whatever the situation is. But yeah, it was definitely an experience growing up there.
I hope you've enjoyed this peek into a few haunted houses. Please join me next time when we go camping in the wilds of Missouri and watch zombie movies. Until then, keep an eye out for specters, spirits, and spooks whenever you go Lights Out.